do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. Zinn covers the gamut from the essence of human happiness.
Having value is key to human happiness.
To the downside of venture capital for entrepreneurs.
Venture capital can be the antithesis of entrepreneurial spirit.
The essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
An entrepreneur without determination is truly an oxymoron.
Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
I've been lucky. In my career, I've only had to fire one person who I hired directly. That I was the only dissenting voice on the hiring committee's decision to hire this fellow in the first place is of little consolation. So hiring really good employees predisposes your company towards success, but how do you do this? Ray Zinn knows how, having run the Silicon Valley Semiconductor with the lowest employee turnover rate in his industry. If you want his full wisdom on hiring, motivating, and leading employees, buy a copy of Ray's book, Tough Things First, at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. Now, Ray, that one fellow that I hired and had to fire took a toll on the rest of the team. Not quite destructive, but it certainly hampered things. I had my hunches about him during the interview process, which proved to be right, and I was willing to pass him by and wait for a better candidate, but other people were impatient to fill this slot. Are desperation hires a big problem and perhaps even more of a problem for startups?
They can be. You know, anytime you're desperate, you tend to shortcut the process. And I don't recommend shortcutting the process unless you don't have a choice. So that has to be determined in advance as to whether or not you actually have the flexibility to plow through it correctly in order to get the best people. So yes, that can happen.
I think this is probably the most interesting trap that I've discovered in startup culture. Because startups will have trouble growing unless they hire good people, yet they are often the most desperate to hire anyone, and thus they are more prone to hire bad employees. After desperation, what drives bad hiring decisions?
Probably not being thorough in the interviewing process to understand why the potential employee left his prior job. I know the story about a couple that had left their job and was moving to a different town and wanted to know what the town was like. And they asked this old man on the corner about how the town was. And he said, well, how was it in your previous town? And they said, oh, they're a bunch of busybodies. They weren't very good people. And then the old man said, well, that's the kind of people we have in this town. Same kind of people. And then another couple left and same situation. And the old man asked them, well, how was the town that you left? And they, well, we loved them. They're wonderful people. And he said, well, you'll find the people here are wonderful too. So again, you want to find out what reasons they left their prior job, because that'll give you a clue as to what kind of person they're going to be. You want people to get along. And so if they like their prior job, they like their prior supervisor, then you have a higher chance of success with that person than with someone who says, oh, I couldn't stand my boss. I didn't like the company. They were poorly run. You be careful about hiring those kinds of people.
One of the things I'm interested in is whether we hire the wrong people, not only because we don't vet them well enough, but they don't vet the company that they're hiring into. In my younger days, went to a number of job interviews where it appeared that the supervisor really didn't understand the role that he was hiring people into. Do organizations mess up that way by not really understanding the full implications of the role that they want to bring somebody into?
Sure, absolutely. You know, the supervisor is the one that hires the person. So they have to be capable of interviewing for that job. And if they don't understand the job that they're hiring for, they shouldn't be the one that's doing the interviewing. So yes, the supervisor should know what the requirements are for the job he's hiring for.
Well, like most organizations, when I was doing hiring, I would create small interview committees and I would try to drag in people from different departments for whom this candidate might have to interface. How many people and in what groups or departments should be involved in an interview committee?
Well, that depends upon the size of your organization, but I like to have six. Six seems like was a good number for us. And we did pull from different organizations. Let's say maybe three from the organization that's doing the hiring and then three from other departments. That's the balance that we use. So three and three, three inside of the department and three outside the department.
That certainly sounds like a good balance. You've hired more people than I can count, and you must have collected a few warning signs along the way, things to watch out for during a job interview that red flag somebody as probably not being a great candidate. Share with us some of these red flags that you've identified over the years.
I mentioned one just a few minutes ago. I like to ask the employee what he thought of his prior supervisor or his company. And if he didn't like his supervisor or his prior company, that was a red flag for me. I also ask him how he liked his job, you know, the kind of work that he was doing, and had him explain what his function was at that company and how well he did or she did with regard to meeting their commitments. So that was another red flag if that person said that they did not have a proper supervision or proper success in completing their tasks at their prior job. That was another red flag. Or if they felt that they weren't treated fairly.
Money is always an issue in the hiring process. And I think I flat-footed an interviewer once because he started talking about salary very early in the interview. And I said, let's not talk about money because that's meaningless unless there's a cultural fit. If an interview candidate starts talking about money, is that a red flag?
Absolutely. No, I should have mentioned that too. The questions that the employee asks, obviously, or the potential employee asks, let them ask you questions. What would you like to know about our company? And if the first thing he wants to know is about the medical benefits or the vacation or time off or compensation, that's a red flag. If they want to know about the direction of the company, they want to know about the type of products, a little bit more about the company itself, then that shows their interest is at the company, not for themselves. So if they direct it more at what's in it for me, then that's a red flag.
I think one of the most interesting things about Silicon Valley is that traditional dress codes have been completely inverted. In some cases, dressing appropriately for a job is important, but in our culture here, you can actually overdress for an interview. What would be your advice to people going out and interviewing or in hiring in terms of what their expectation should be about somebody's appearance when they show up for a job interview?
Well, you should know the company in which you're interviewing. Likewise, the supervisor should know what he's expecting in the way of dress. And so you can overdress and you can underdress, depending upon the company. So make sure you do your homework and understand what is the typical dress of the company so that you don't get overdressed. But it's better to be more dressed than underdressed. And so make sure you understand what the culture of the company in which you're interviewing.
Well, these are all great lessons because what we're talking about here is leadership. Leadership is all about getting things done through people. If you don't hire great people, then don't expect to accomplish great things. But one of the great things you can do right now is connect with Raisin on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can find these contact points at toughthingsfirst.com/contact. The other great thing you can accomplish right now is to subscribe to the Tough Things First podcast using iTunes, Google Play Music, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, and other popular outlets.